Hey, welcome back to Karma is a Pod.
Welcome back.
Episode 2.
Against all odds, we've returned for the second episode.
All right, guys. Nice. Well, we got quite a few things to delve into today.
We are preparing
for the release of Tortured Poets Department.
The imminent release.
Tortured Poets Department.
Very exciting.
April 19th.
Yeah.
We only have a few days to go. So there's been some materials that have come about. Why don't we get started talking about them?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, I think first things first, the most exciting thing that I experienced this morning was like getting on Twitter and seeing that she dropped signed copies of the manuscript vinyl and CD, which was just absolutely insane. And I should have known she would do something like that, but it just felt like such a random drop, you know?
Yeah, I missed it. I very much did miss it. And unfortunately, we are now kind of living in an era where if you are not there the second that it drops, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was saying this to Ramal earlier, but, you know, I very much, like, the day that the album drops, I'm going to have the store open on the page all day.
Yeah.
In case she drops a cardigan, because I think if there's going to be a Tortured Poets cardigan, it's going to be sort of that, like, cream beige sort of color that's sort of channeling the original Folklore cardigan, which I also did not get. I made the very incorrect decision not to buy it, and, you know, I've been living with the consequences of that decision for several years now. So
you're a bad
Swiftie.
And
it never gets better.
It's always a mistake. You know, I always find myself, you know, do I need this? And then three years later, I very much did need it.
Well, these items are in such high demand.
Yeah.
And the moment they get released, they just are off the market immediately.
Yeah.
These cardigans go like hotcakes. It's unbelievable.
It used to be, like, I feel like, you know, she would drop merch and you'd at least have, like, a couple hours that you could manage to get it, you know. But now it is at the point where people are on and within seconds, you know, everyone's checking out, it's in their cart, they're paying, and it's gone. You know, that seems to be more and more common, sadly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was shocked I was even able to get the vinyl because I didn't come on the minute it was on. I just happened to see it on Twitter, like, I don't know, maybe 20, 15 minutes later.
And good for you.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I know I'm like spending so much money, but also I have to do it now because I will experience deep regret. So I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. When last Christmas, she did that big drop of all of the, you know, sort of the vintage merch, and, you know, she had the original cardigans, which went so fast, and I don't know anyone who actually got one, but she had the signed Folklore up again, and, you know, like, I bought Folklore the day it came out, but I missed the signed copies that time too, and I was checking out, it was gone, you know.
Basically, what we're realizing is that Annie has to wake up at 6 a.m. every day,
so that
in case something drops, she doesn't miss it.
The day that this album comes out, you know, midnight, you know, I might just have to not sleep because midnight I'm going to be listening, and then merch could drop at any time. Hopefully, TN gives us at least somewhat of a heads up, you know, but.
Right. I mean, last time they gave a 5-minute heads up for the 1989 cardigan, which was pretty crazy, but I do feel like it's totally that 2 p.m. Eastern time slot where that goes on.
Yes.
Like, always. So I'm going to be looking at that on Friday.
Yes, definitely. And fingers crossed for a Tortured Poets cardigan.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
I think there's definitely a chance. I think that she knows these things sell really well, so it'll be there. It'll be there.
I think it will too.
Try not to go absolutely nuts if you don't get one. You know, and the Swifties, I wish I could tell them to maybe slow down so we have a shot, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
Them, meaning us. I think it's more that we need to tell the bots to slow down. I don't think the Swifties are the problem.
That's true.
It's the scalpers
who are really the
problem. We could spend like 5 hours talking about that because they really, like, I saw copies of it already. People are trying to sell it for $300, which is just insane.
The signed?
Yeah, the signed vinyl.
Yeah, right now.
And they don't even have it yet. Yep.
Because it's a pre-order.
That's always great.
I actually straight up, I didn't check when the signed vinyls come, so I think it's April 19th, but it also could be August, so I'm not sure.
I'm really hopeful that, you know, I have the Bolter edition coming as a wonderful birthday present from Ramal, so
nice.
I'm hoping that it actually comes, you know, this week.
Yeah.
And it'll behind us for video watchers.
Yeah, we'll make sure it's behind us on our album
wall.
Check out our beautiful album wall, please.
Place of honor.
Yeah. I'm unfortunately covering, what am I covering? I'm covering Lover and I'm covering Folklore. Too bad, screw him. So yeah, well, that's really exciting. We have some other things going on with these very interesting playlist drops. Apple Music, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. On Apple Music, which
is pretty
crazy.
Why don't you give us a little intro on those, Ramal?
Yeah, so I think last week is when she dropped these playlists on Apple Music, and it's kind of interesting since she seems to switch on and off between Spotify and Apple Music and the kind of promotion she's doing on those platforms. So I guess she picked Apple Music for this specifically. So basically, she dropped 5 different playlists, all sort of containing all of her previous songs, and each playlist is meant to encapsulate one stage of grief. And so people were kind of just shocked about it because that had been a fan theory for a long while, but she hadn't really confirmed it or put it out there. I also heard that she might have decided to go into the 5 stages of grief or push that harder given the fan response to the title of the album dropping.
Interesting.
Which is really interesting. Yeah, because Swifties were kind of theorizing it from the second that she announced the album. And so basically all of Twitter devolved into a ton of theorizing over exactly why certain songs were on certain lists. And there's a lot to talk about because all of her albums are on it, except for Reputation, because she doesn't own that yet, but it also creates a really interesting collection of songs from the remaining albums.
Well, yeah. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, no, that's interesting, because a lot of those songs, like, you know, New Year's Day, King of My Heart, you would maybe expect to be on some of these lists, you know? Definitely on the anger playlist, I definitely would have expected some, you know, this is why we can't have nice things, or, you know.
Exactly. Or like, I did something bad,
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I think go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think something that I noticed that is kind of interesting is the titles of the playlists really clearly correlate with the quotes that are on the backs of the special editions. At least for the first 4 editions, although there are only 4 editions, including the manuscript edition. And then the final playlist is a song title, which is kind of interesting that 4 of them correlate.
Right.
And then 1 is a song title. I guess I was wondering if you guys think that this means that the bonus track for each edition is going to sort of correlate to the theme of that stage of grief of that playlist. You know, like we have I Love You, It's Ruining My Life, the denial playlist, is what's on the back of the manuscript edition. So do we think the manuscript track is sort of going to tie into that denial theme?
Right. That's really interesting that you say that, because I just was thinking of the Black Dog, and maybe that would be Old Habits Die Screaming, depression. And that kind of fits. I like that. I really like that theory. I hadn't thought of it like that before.
I would say yes, because I think that, again, I think I said this in the last episode too, Taylor's very deliberate. Nothing is left to accident. So, you know, if there's any correlation that can be made, if it's clear that, you know, each of these playlists correlates with a bonus track, then I think that that's kind of a layup for her, and she's going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I mean, we see that the Bolter is You Don't Get to Tell Me About Sad, and that sounds like an angry song, just based on the title.
True.
You know?
True, right. True. Right. And then Am I Allowed to Cry would be the Albatross. I think so. I think that's like Am I Allowed to Cry is on the album. Yeah,
and there's
which is
a
really
lot of theories about that song.
Right. And I think it's really, I was telling you guys, I remember before, that the Albatross was like immediately interesting to me, and I had to order the vinyl just because of the ancient rhyme. I'm going to butcher it. The rhyme of the ancient mariner, that story that I feel like everyone read in high school, and that being kind of the only
not me.
Media, not Zach, because he didn't read things in high
it
school.
It may have been
sorry.
A sign, but he didn't read it.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I feel like I've been asking people and everyone remembers that story because it was very weird, and it's the only thing I know of that involves an albatross besides the whole common phrase of an albatross hanging around your neck, And I guess there probably is one way that she's going to go, but I just think it would be really interesting whether she's the albatross or someone else is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And there's the whole, you know, albatrosses fly over the sea for 6 years, you know, concept. Right. And, you know,
right.
Obviously the relationship being 6 years that we are presuming that the album is about, you know, we're largely focusing on. And also going from living in London across the ocean, coming back, you know.
Right.
And we have a song called So Long London, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's fascinating with, like, the Am I Allowed to Cry and the songs that she chose, like The Great War, This Is Me Trying, Cornelia Street, just because all of those songs sort of encapsulate this idea of going through a really rough period in a relationship and not knowing if you're going to come out on the other side of it, but also kind of fighting for the relationship in a way. And I'm going to be interested to see how she fits it in there, because in terms of my listening from before... And we can talk about that, too, of whether or not this playlist has sort of shifted the way that you think about the songs, or whether it should even shift the way you think about the songs. But from when I listened to those kinds of things before, The Great War felt incredibly hopeful, you know? And so I'm kind of wondering how it fits now into Hopeless, almost.
Yeah, I mean, the line in The Great War, I vowed I would always be yours, you know, after, you know, they presumably made it through this rough period.
Right.
Vowing to be committed to the relationship forever, you know, and tying that into the bargaining theme, you know.
Right. I think what it kind of proves is how volatile of an album Midnights was in terms of its meaning, and how, you know, when that album released, she was at a certain point in her life where people kind of thought that her relationship was unshakable.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, things kind of fell through. But... You know, I think that I think we're all in agreement that Midnights is lyrically very strong and dynamic in terms of, you know, the way she's talking. I think it sounds a bit more mature than a lot of her other music. But I also think it's layered in terms of its meaning, because she's dealing with feelings that are maybe negative, but reinforced in a somewhat positive way.
Yeah. And I think that it sort of encapsulates different, because it's, you know, the sort of concept of the concept album, you know, of these different nights throughout her life. There are songs that represent things that happened years ago. You know what I mean? Like Lavender Haze is at the beginning of a relationship. And that is the very first song on the first playlist, the Denial playlist, you know, which I think is also sort of telling.
Really interesting.
You know, I my jaw did drop a little bit when I saw that Lover is on the Denial playlist. You know.
Yes, yes. I was going to ask you about that. That's literally something that I was like, I absolutely have to ask you guys this question of, why do you think Lover is on the Denial playlist? Why do you think it's fitting into I Love You, It's Ruining My Life? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it's one of her most sort of hopeful, optimistic, you know, there's no asterisk in Lover. It's just, you know, this is my soulmate. We're going to be together forever, sort of.
Right.
Well, it's very, I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's very, you know, it's very sort of, you are my destiny. You are the one, you are this and that. And, you know, I think it from a certain perspective, it can come across as a bit juvenile. It can come across as a bit naive. It can come across a bit, you know, sort of a more, wondrous version of the idea of love versus the actual reality of it. And also, before she plays that song on the tour, she says something, every time she says something along the lines of, when you hear these songs tonight, don't think about what they mean when I wrote them, think about what they mean to you now.
Yeah, and I think she started saying that when the breakup had become public as well, you know, which I think is also... important. And I think it, something that kind of interested me as well is that on the flip side, Invisible String, which is probably the other most famous song about the Joe relationship, at least presumably, is on the Acceptance playlist, you know, and I think that Invisible String and Lover are kind of two sides of the same coin. So it was kind of interesting to see Because Invisible String is also a song that's very much like, I was always meant to meet you. You know, right. You were always supposed to be in my life. We were just waiting for each other. But that's not on the Denial playlist. You know, that's on the Acceptance playlist. So maybe that's more sort of saying, you know, even though things didn't end the way we wanted them to, you know, I still was supposed to meet you and this was still supposed to be, you know, a part of our lives. I don't know. I'm interested to see that, you know. I'm interested to see if this album has maybe more of a more nuanced perspective on love and soulmates. You know, I think I think Lover is a song that feels more almost like a Speak Now sort of era type song.
Sure.
You know, in the thematic content of it. And I'm interested to see if this is more of a a mixed bag, I guess, sort of in the perspective.
Sure.
Right. I think that's
Go ahead, Ramal.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think something that you said that was just really interesting was like your theory about why Invisible String might be on Acceptance. And what I was going to say is I think with her, with Taylor Swift, you got a unique case of, a somewhat unique case, I would say, because she kind of crafted out this genre for herself of intertwining your life and your own experiences very closely with your music. And I think that in some ways, the songs that you write and the history of them remain static in the ways of when at whatever emotional state you were in at the time you wrote them and how the fans interpreted them and how the fans accepted them and wove that music into their life. But at the same time, you also have this reflective piece where because it's so intertwined with your life, I think sometimes you can make the choice, which I think she has, to reinterpret the songs in light of new experiences. So my thought was like with Invisible String, I'm not sure if I'm correct, but maybe she's kind of taking that idea and applying it to her life now. You know,
I think that's a possibility too.
That is a possibility too because of her current situation. I also think it's possible that putting that on Acceptance, the Invisible String, which is a string that is meant to connect two people for life, that perhaps she is deconstructing that idea and saying, I accept that this is a song and not reality. But then again, it is Taylor Swift who is a believer, I think,
in true love,
and predestined love. That would be a major transformation in her, probably her belief system,
at least
and her
the
idea
worldview that
and
she's
the worldview
put out
that
in
she
her
presents.
Music. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Any last thoughts? I think we should wrap it up for time purposes.
I think it'll be interesting, and you know, it definitely might be worth discussion after we've listened to these songs. Like Ramal was saying, if it changes our perspective on any of the songs that are on these playlists and about why they're on these playlists. But you know, we are on the precipice of a very exciting new era, and I'm excited for everybody to be back for our next episode.
The new era of Karma is a Pod. That's what you're talking about, right?
Well,
our era.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what she was talking about for sure.
Our Tortured Poets era. Yeah.
We are three tortured poets.
We'll be back with our undoubtedly completely original, never before heard takes on the album.
I'm excited, guys.
Me too.
Very excited. Yeah.